I'm so glad to be back with you for the Old Testament survey. We're going to continue our Old Testament survey. The Old Testament is a rich treasure. Amen. Fantastic treasure that we have. It is the Word of God. It is the Old Testament is food for your soul. It is food for your soul. And I'm so glad to be with you again. We're going to do 1 Kings today. As you can see behind me on the screen, 1 Kings, so you'll want to be open to that book. You should have a note sheet in your bulletin. And before we get into 1 Kings, we just want to give you a little bit of the big picture. So Jessica, go ahead and bring up that first slide on the notes. The United Kingdom of Israel, the United Kingdom is when Israel was one nation. You remember that there was judges judging the land, ruling the land, being the spiritual leader of the land. And then there was Samuel, the final judge. And then Israel wanted a king. So the kingdom of Israel, the United Kingdom, has three kings, Saul, David, and Solomon. Go ahead and bring that up too, Jessica, please. Very good. United Kingdom, three kings, Saul, David, and Solomon. And you can see on the screen and on your note sheets that 1 Samuel is about King Saul, 2 Samuel is about King David, and 1 Kings 1 through 11, we're doing the whole book of 1 Kings today, but 1 Kings 1 through 11 is about Solomon. Due to Solomon's wickedness, due to Solomon's idolatry, when he died, the kingdom was split into what is called the divided kingdom. The divided kingdom. It was divided into Israel in the north and Judah in the south. The divided kingdom, the history of the divided kingdom until they were conquered by Syria and Babylonia, is covered in 1 Kings 12 through 22 and 2 Kings. All right, let's look at 1 Kings. As the book of 1 Kings opens, David is very old. So he has his son Solomon anointed as king of Israel. He's old. He can't rule anymore. He says, Solomon, you are king. And they anoint Solomon king of Israel. And in chapter 3 of 1 Kings, Solomon prays this beautiful prayer. So open to 1 Kings 3. And we'll start in verse 9. First Kings 3, verse 9. Follow along in your Bible if you have one. Otherwise, it's up there on the screen. Solomon is praying. He's just become king. He's praying to God. So give your servant an understanding heart. This is Solomon's prayer to God. Give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, to discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? It was pleasing in the sight of the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. God said to him, because you have asked this thing, and have not asked for yourself long life, nor have you asked riches for yourself, nor have you asked for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself discernment to understand justice. Behold, I have done according to your words. Behold, I've given you a wise and discerning heart, so that there has been no one like you before you, nor shall one like you arise after you. I have also given you what you have not asked, riches and honor, so that there will not be any among the kings like you all your days. If you walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and commandments, as your father David walked, then I will prolong your days." So God blesses Solomon greatly. God gives Solomon incredible wisdom and riches and honor. Look at chapter 4 with me. Chapter 4. If you're new to Trinity and you're thinking, man, this guy is going really fast. We are in an Old Testament survey where we cover one book per Sunday. So, yes, I'm going to be skipping a lot, but I've got one Sunday for one book. 1 Kings 4, verse 20. And look at the incredible blessings that the Lord poured out on Israel. 4:20. Judah and Israel were as numerous as the sand that is on the seashore in abundance. They were eating and drinking and rejoicing. Solomon ruled over all the kingdoms from the river to the land of the Philistines to the border of Egypt. They brought tribute and served Solomon all the days of his life. Solomon's provision for one day was 30 cores of fine flour, 60 cores of meal, 23. 10 fat oxen, 20 pasture-fed oxen, 100 sheep, besides deer, gazelles, roebucks, fattened fowl, for he had dominion over everything west of the river. From Topsah even to Gaza, over all the kings west of the river, he had peace on all sides around him. Judah and Israel lived in safety. Every man under his vine and his fig tree, from Dan even to Beersheba, all the days of Solomon. Skip to verse 29. Now God gave Solomon wisdom and very great discernment and breadth of mind like the sand that is on the seashore. Solomon's wisdom surpassed the wisdom of all the sons of the east and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all men, than Ethan, the Azurite, Heman, Kolkah, Darda, the son of Mer, and his fame was known throughout all surrounding nations. Solomon was greatly blessed by the Lord. This is an incredible time in the kingdom of Israel. David built up this great kingdom. Solomon is blessed by God, and Israel is large and awesome. No enemies stand before them. Great blessing, great abundance, incredible blessing of God. Chapters 5, 6, and 7, Solomon builds the temple. An awesome, magnificent temple. In chapter 8, Solomon dedicates the temple to the service and worship of the Lord. He prays an incredible prayer in chapter 8. You need to read 1 Kings, brothers and sisters. Read 1 Kings on your own and don't miss chapter 8, an incredible prayer of Solomon. God's response is in chapter 9. Let's look at it. Chapter 9, verse 3. Chapter 9, verse 3. The Lord said to him, "I've heard your prayer and your supplication which you have made before me. I have consecrated this house, the temple, which you have built by putting my name there forever. My eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. As for you, if you will walk before me as your father David walked, in integrity of heart and uprightness, doing according to all that I've commanded you, and will keep my statutes and ordinances, then I will establish the throne of your kingdom over Israel forever. Just as I promised to your father David, saying, 'You shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel.' But, Solomon, if you or your sons indeed turn away from following me, and do not keep my commandments and my statutes which I've set before you, and go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will cut off Israel from the land which I've given them. And the house which I've consecrated for my name, this glorious temple, I will cast out of my sight. So Israel will become a proverb and a byword among all the peoples. God blessed Solomon greatly. God blessed Israel greatly. Look at chapter 10 with me quickly for an example. Chapter 10, verse 14. Chapter 10, verse 14. Now the weight of gold which came into Solomon for 1 year was 666 talents of gold. Let's play a little game. Raise your hand if you think you know how much gold that is. If you attend the Master's College, you cannot play. Elder Jerry Mills, it's a lot of gold. Amen. It's a lot of gold. Becky. As big as the piano, a solid gold piano. Sally, would you play that if it were solid gold? Oh, good job. All right. Two more guesses. Okay, Master's College. Yes. See, that's why I didn't call on you. 25 tons of gold is the correct answer. 25 tons of gold. Now, the weight of gold which came into Solomon in 1 year was 25 tons. Moreover, the king made a great throne of ivory, overlaid it with refined gold, 6 steps to the throne, and a round top to the throne at its rear, arms on each side of the seat, and 2 lions standing beside the arms. 12 lions were standing there on the 6 steps on the one side and on the other. Nothing like it was made for any other kingdom. All King Solomon's drinking vessels were gold. All the vessels of the house of the forest of Lebanon were pure gold. None was silver. It was not considered valuable in the days of Solomon. For the king had at sea the ships of Tarshish with the ships of Haran. Once every 3 years, the ships of Tarshish came bringing gold and silver, ivory, apes, peacocks. King Solomon became greater than all the kings of the earth in riches and in wisdom. All the earth was seeking the presence of Solomon to hear his heart, which would hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart. Everything is going amazingly well. The kingdom of Israel and King Solomon are blessed beyond belief. And in chapter 11, it all comes crashing down. Open with me to chapter 11. Verse 1. Now King Solomon loved many foreign women, along with the daughter of Pharaoh, Moabite, Ammonite, Edomite, Sidonite, Hittite women from the nations concerning which the Lord had said to the sons of Israel, "You shall not associate with them, nor shall they associate with you, for they will surely turn your heart away after other gods." Solomon held fast to these in love. He had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned his heart away. The great King Solomon began worshiping other gods. And after Solomon's death, this great and awesome kingdom of Israel was split apart, all because and only because of idolatry. Solomon's son reigned over Judah in the south, only 2 tribes. The other 10, Judah and Benjamin, were in the south. The other 10 kept the name Israel and broke away from David's dynasty, broke away from David's sons. The rest of the book of 1 Kings, and I encourage you to read it, the rest of the book of the 1 Kings is a tragic, tragic tale of king after king after king after king leading Israel astray to worship idols. The great and awesome kingdom being defeated over and over and over again by their enemies, facing famine, facing defeat. The book of 1 Kings is an incredible lesson, an incredible story in contrast. Its second part is 2 Kings. Obviously, 1 and 2 Kings tell the entire story from Solomon to the end. And we'll see that next week as we do 2 Kings. King David's kingdom was incredible. You remember when we did 2 Samuel that King David had these 30 men. They're David's mighty men, and these guys were just amazing men in his army. Men that could kill hundreds by themselves. King David had 1,300,000 fighting men in Israel. No enemy could stand before them. King Solomon was incredibly rich, incredibly wise. The kingdom was amazing. Solomon turns his heart to idolatry, and the whole thing comes crashing down in a heartbreaking disaster. Brothers and sisters, read 1 Kings. Read 2 Kings. And learn faithfulness and endurance and worship. We are to worship and serve God and serve Him only. And the books of 1 Kings and 2 Kings are written for the church that we may endure in our worship of God and Him alone. Please read the whole book. Jesus teaches us this same thing. Look at Matthew 4, verse 8 behind me on the screen. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain. This is Jesus as he was being tempted. The devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Go, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Look again at what Jesus says, Matthew chapter 22, behind me on the screen. He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment." We are studying the Old Testament, all 39 books, one Sunday at a time. If you want the whole thing summarized in one sentence, look behind me on the screen. There's the Old Testament right there. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. Jesus follows that with, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." And then he says, "On these two commands hang the entire Old Testament." That's it right there. Brothers and sisters, in your notes, first blank, you cannot love and serve two masters. You cannot love and serve two masters. King Solomon went after many foreign gods. Ashtaroth, Malcolm, Shemesh, Moloch. One particular god that really troubled Israel a lot is Baal, B-A-A-L. And in our society today, in Indio in 2013, we do not worship Baal. But so many people and things compete with God for our love, our loyalty, and our service. We do not worship Baal. But so many things compete for our love, our loyalty, and our service. Perhaps a boyfriend, perhaps a girlfriend, money, possessions, happiness, or the most common idol in our society. What is the most common idol in our society? And it is you. You. Who do you serve? Who do you serve, Trinity Baptist? Do you serve yourself or do you serve God? First Kings gives us one of the most famous Bible stories in all the Bible. It is an incredible gift. It is hidden in 1 Kings chapter 18. Would you turn there with me, please? Incredible story. 1 Kings 18. First Kings 18, the prophet Elijah challenges the prophets of Baal, B-A-A-L, to a standoff. It's like the Old West. He challenges the prophets of Baal. And he says, meet me on Mount Carmel for our showdown. God versus Baal. Take it from verse 20. 1 Kings 18, 20. So Ahab, King Ahab, sent a message among all the sons of Israel and brought the prophets together at Mount Carmel. Elijah came near to all the people and said, all the people are gathered on Mount Carmel. And Elijah said, how long will you hesitate between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal is God, follow him. But the people did not answer him a word. Then Elijah, God's prophet, said to the people, I alone am left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Now let them give us two oxen. Let them choose one ox for themselves and cut it up, place it on the wood, put no fire under it. I will prepare the other ox and lay it on the wood, and I will put no fire under it. Then you call in the name of your God, and I'll call in the name of the Lord, the God who answers by fire. He is God. And all the people said, that's a good idea. That's a good idea. It's a showdown. God versus Baal. One prophet of God versus 450 prophets of Baal. He says, put a sacrifice on the wood. I'll put a sacrifice on the wood. Ask Baal to bring down fire and burn it. I'll ask God to bring down fire and burn it. The God who answers by fire, he is God. Everyone says, cool. Let's do that. That is a good idea. Verse 25. I'm sorry. Where am I, Jessica? 25? Okay. So Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose one ox and prepare it first, for you are many. Call on the name of your God, but put on fire under it. Then they took the ox, which were given them, and they prepared it and called on the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, O Baal, answer us. But there was no voice. No one answered. They leaped upon the altar which they made. It came about at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, call out with a loud voice. He's a god. Maybe he's occupied. Maybe he's gone aside. Maybe he's on a journey. Perhaps he's asleep. You need to wake him up. So they cried out with a loud voice and cut themselves according to their custom with swords and lances until the blood gushed out on them. When midday was past, they raved until the time of offering of the evening sacrifice. But there was no voice. No one answered. No one paid attention. That's what happens when you pray to a false god. No voice. No one answers. No one even pays any attention. My brothers and sisters, who do you serve? Who do you serve? Who is the number one love and loyalty in your life? Is it a boyfriend? Is it a girlfriend? Is it money? Is it possessions? Do you live to please and serve yourself? I have a question for you. I have a question for you. In your day of trouble, in your time of need, in your hour of crisis, is that person going to save you? When you need a God, when you need to be saved, is that person, is that money, is that possession going to come through for you? Will your possessions rescue you in the hour of need? Will your boyfriend or girlfriend save you in your time of crisis? Israel turned away from God. They cried out to Baal, and there was no answer, no voice. No one paid attention. God is different. Look at verse 30. Then Elijah said to all the people, come near to me. So all the people came near to him. He repaired the altar of the Lord, which had been torn down. Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, Israel shall be your name. So with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench around the altar large enough to hold 2 measures of seed. When he arranged the wood and cut the ox in pieces and laid it on the wood, he said, fill the pitchers with water and pour it on the burnt offering and the wood. And he said, do it a second time. And they did it. And he said, do it a third time. And they did it a third time. The water flowed around the altar. He also filled the trench with water. I love this. Elijah is not satisfied just to beat them. He's being unsportsmanlike. He's showing off. The 49ers crushed the Packers yesterday, and I am so tempted to talk about that for 10 minutes, but I'm not going to do it. Elijah is showing off. He drenches the ox with water. He drenches the wood with water. He fills the trench with water. The water is flowing and dripping and pouring and running off of it. Have you ever extinguished water with fire? You ever done that? Yeah, that's usually how it works. What would you think if I came in here on Monday morning and it was flooded? Not bad, but it was flooded. And I called Deacon Chris Warren, and I said, Chris, the sanctuary is flooded. And he says, that's okay, light a match, it'll suck it up. Have you ever extinguished water with fire? God can do that. Look at verse 36. At the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet came near and said, O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, today let it be known that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant and I have done all these things at your word. Answer me, O Lord, answer me that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God. And you've turned their hearts back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust and the water. When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. See this scene from the heart of God. The people that he loves so much, the people that he blessed so abundantly, he said, serve me and me alone, and no enemy will be able to stand before you. One of you will put 1,000 to flight. And he blessed them. And he made Israel so large, and no enemy could stand before them. No enemy even dared. He blessed their king with 25 tons of gold a year, and silver wasn't even worth anything. He loved Israel. God loves Israel, and he loves them today. And their idol worship reduced them to praying to Baal for the entire day, begging him to answer, cutting themselves until their blood is flowing from them and there's no answer. How God must have been heartbroken. Who do you serve? It's not worth it. In your notes, number 2, only God can help us when we call on Him. Only God can help you, Trinity Baptist. Only God can help you when you call on Him. Look at Psalm 3 on the screen. O Lord, how my adversaries have increased. Many are rising up against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no deliverance for him in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory, and the one who lifts my head. I was crying to the Lord with my voice, and he answered me from his holy mountain. Number 3 in your notes. God and God alone answers prayer. God and God alone answers prayer. Maybe you have stepped into our service today. Maybe you're here today and you are not ready to forsake your sin and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You've been told about Jesus. You've been told you're a sinner. You've been told that you need to give your life to Jesus Christ. But like so many people in our society today, you are not ready. I've witnessed to so many people. Some of you have witnessed to so many more people. And it's so heartbreaking when you explain the gospel to someone and they believe, you can see that they know that you're right, but they say, I'm not ready. What does that mean? I'm not ready. It means I have a love. I have an idol. I have a competing person or thing in my life. And I know Jesus Christ and Him alone needs to be on the throne of my life. And I'm not willing to make that switch. How tragic. Maybe you are one of those people sitting right here. You know the gospel. You know Jesus is Lord. You know you're a sinner. You know you need to turn your life over to him, but you're not ready to surrender your idol. I have a question for you. When you die and stand before God, what's your idol going to do for you? Is your boyfriend going to save you when you stand before God on Judgment Day? Is your girlfriend going to save you when you stand before God? Are your possessions going to save you when you stand before God? Is your money going to save you when you stand before God? Are your good deeds going to save you when you stand before God on Judgment Day? Whoever your idol is, or whatever your idol is, you will call upon that person. There will be no voice. No one will answer. And no one will pay attention. Look at the scriptures behind me on the screen. Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. There is no distinction between Jew or Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Hallelujah. My brothers and sisters, the last blank. Only Jesus Christ can save you on the day of judgment. Only Jesus Christ can save you on the day of judgment. Trinity Baptist, if you are a Christian here today, you are my brother, you are my sister. And I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that when I stand before the throne of God, here is what I'm going to say. My brothers and sisters, on that day of judgment, Jesus Christ will save you. If you are not united with him by having forsaken sin and embracing his free gift, Jerry and I will be right there for just a few moments. Would you come and talk to us? And if you are united with him, know this. I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you for providing a Savior for us that we can count on. Jesus Christ, right now, standing at the right of your throne, always living to intercede for us. In Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we pray. Bless our fellowship. Bless the food. Bless our time we have together. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.